We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm just happy to be here inside the building.
Amen. Ain't that the truth?
Ain't that the truth?
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company with Christian values. Today is Thursday. Look, Pastor Dwight is in the building.
Yeah, we're all day off at least.
Yeah, I usually say Pastor Dwight's not in the building, but hey, look, he is in the building. However, the message that you will get through the Truth broadcast is a pre-recorded message, unless
I stay 2 hours.
I won't throw you under the Jesus bus this morning, man.
All right,
I won't do that to you.
It's all good. You know I can preach 2-3-4 hours. You know
hey,
that.
Hey, we'll go for it if you want to, but. It's all good. It won't hurt my feelings. It might help them.
It might. Good preaching will help your feelings, that's for sure.
That's for sure. It'll draw you out of that ocean of emotion, you know?
Yeah. Stomp your toes and keep stomping them until it quits hurting.
Yeah. We will have the Truth broadcast following the program. We'll end the podcast here, and then give us a few minutes or a few seconds to get the iPad reset, and then we'll come back with a message by Pastor Dwight with the Truth broadcast. And the title of that will be God is in the Details. I think I covered it all with a little humor here and there.
There you go.
Would you pray to start us out this morning?
I will. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before this morning, as I said earlier, we are thankful to be here and we're thankful to be inside the building. We're thankful for places of refuge, Father. First and foremost, we're thankful for that place of spiritual refuge that you are to us. You are our God in whom we trust, our mighty God, our fortress, our protector, our redeemer. And we thank you first and foremost for that spiritual refuge. But Father, we also thank you for the places of safety you give us in our life, Lord God, where you protect us from the elements, you protect us from things that would cause us harm. And Father, I'm mindful this morning. I found myself thinking of those this morning who don't have homes to be in. And Father, I do ask again, Lord, that you give them wisdom and discernment. And I pray, Lord, you'd lead people across their paths and help people be in a safe place today. I pray for all the truck drivers and people that are out about on the highway this morning, Lord, especially here in the parts of the United States where we're having these tremendous weather conditions. We pray for safety and grace to be upon each and every one to do what needs to be done and to have the wisdom to know what doesn't need to be done. And we pray, Lord, for this program, Father. I know that you know our hearts. You know everything about us, your people, your listeners. And, Father, we're here today because we love you and we're responding to your love, Father. We're not here today to try to get you to love us more, because there's nothing we know that we could ever do to make you love us more than you already do. You love us so much that you yourself, Jesus, came to this earth, and we are very mindful of that this time of the year especially. And we pray that your will be done in this program, that you would take us anywhere in the Word that you want us to go, and let our words be your words today, and anoint us to hear them and receive them in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 I like your title this morning, God's Master Plan.
God's Master Plan. I can't tell you very many times in my life at all that God told me what was going to go on and happen and it all just work out just like that. There are a few, but more often than not, as a believer in the Lord, you know, the Bible says four times, twice in the Old Testament, twice in the New Testament, says the just shall live by faith. And faith is not seeing with your eyes or hearing it with your physical ears or being able to experience it with your physical senses. Faith is perceiving as real that which is not yet revealed to your senses. Faith is the substance of things that you still hope for. And, you know, it says, Bible says in Romans, why would a man hope for that which he can see already? So hope that is seen, not hope, that's something different. But God gives us hope. He's able to speak to us and guide us and give us hope about things that we can't see. But very, very rarely ever does it work out the way we think it ought to work out. You know, I want to remind you that Romans 8:28, which is one of my favorite verses. I have a lot of favorite verses, don't I, Monica? But one of my favorite verses is Romans 8:28, and it says this. It says, and we know, we what? We know that in all things God works together for the good of those that love him and are called according to purpose. So you just ask yourself, it doesn't say God works together for the good of those who do everything perfectly. That'd be good because Jesus be the only one qualified for that promise. Because the rest of us, we don't do everything perfectly. But I can tell you this, when you're in the right kind of relationship with the Lord and you get to know him and you love him, even if your mind goes a different direction, your heart will stay with the Lord. I think last time I was here, we were talking about King Asa and how the Bible says that Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all the days of his life. But yet Asa made some decisions that cost him, some decisions that were not in line with the will of God. And at one point he had enemies coming against him. Instead of trusting God like he did when he first became king, he used his vast resources that he'd acquired over the past 16 years of peace, and he reached out with gold to try to make a covenant with his sworn enemy. It kind of sound like the Iran deal, you know. And it don't work. It will not work. You can't buy peace from someone that is your sworn enemy. It's just not going to happen. And he made that decision, and the Lord came, sent his prophet and rebuked, said, hey, when you trusted in me, how'd that go for you? You remember that great battle and the victory and the spoils? Yeah. But now you've reached out to this other person, to this other Syrian king, to be allies with you. And God revealed to him, here's what I was going to do. He said, I was going to hand your enemy over into your hands. See, the enemy had gathered together with another one of their enemies, and they were coming against them. And what God wanted to do was this. God said, I'm going to have you take them both out at the same time. I'm going to have you take that enemy out. You won't have to deal with them. But because he didn't do it God's way, he had to deal with the enemy later on. His son had to deal with the enemy later on. His grandson had to deal with the enemy later on. And it's like, wow, boy, I wish I would have made a different decision than that. But see, here's the deal, where I want to go with this, with God's master plan. God had a plan, and he didn't reveal it to Asa completely and say, hey, Asa, here's what I want you to do. These Syrians are joining up with the wicked king of northern Israel. They're coming against you because I'm going to hand them over into your hand, and you're going to wipe them out. God didn't tell him all that. But see, here's the deal. God doesn't need to instruct you in the whole plan for the plan to happen. Come on. My grandson, Caden, who's 17 now, was about 12 years old when he uttered something out of his mouth one evening at our house that I believe with every fiber of my being was a divine utterance because I haven't forgot it. We were just talking about things of God, and we had been watching a preacher on TV named Bill Winston. And Brother Bill Winston was preaching about God revealing his plans and God revealing his will and how God won't tell you everything, kind of along the lines that I'm talking about. And we were talking about that and just kind of speculating, why would God show you some things and he won't show you other things? And here 12-year-old Caden pops off and he says this. He goes, I think God won't show you the whole plan because if he did, you'd try to make it happen by yourself and you'd mess it up. And then he goes, and then he went even deeper, and he goes, and if you didn't do that, you'd go around blabbing to everybody what the plan was, and the devil would overhear it, and then he'd know how to mess you up. You talk about wisdom out of the mouth of babes. Man, I have not forgotten that. It's like, do you really need to know the whole master plan? No. All you need to know is, what do I need to be doing next? And if you haven't heard any new marching orders, I would assume the ones you received before are the ones you're supposed to be carrying on. You know, if you're in the military and they say, go take this hill, until they tell you something different, that is your objective. And with God, a lot of times we might, maybe, I'm picking my feet up for this one.
Let me get mine up. If he picks his up, pick yours
up.
Yeah,
we got to pick ours up for sure. But with God, sometimes he gives us an instruction that we don't like. I'm going to tell you the instruction that I don't like it. This is the one I really don't like. He said, just trust me. I know, but what can I do? He goes, trust me. I remember one time it was the hot part of the Oklahoma summer, which is like, you know what, 120 degrees different than now. Today, in case you don't know this, you're watching from somewhere else. Here in western Oklahoma, when I was coming over here a while ago, and the 50 mile an hour north wind, it's 1 degree outside. There's little, teeny, tiny little snow because it's too cold and blowing too hard for it to snow any pretty snow. Our snow in Oklahoma, if you haven't seen it, it's normally brown, and it falls this way. It don't fall. It doesn't do this. It blows this way, and it's teeny tiny, and it's brown. But the wind chill factor is about, from what my information said, it was 26 below zero. We're over here sharing the word of God. Monica drove further than I did. We're over here sharing the word of God, and it's not because we're trying to earn brownie points with God, because we love God, and we want to get his word out. So, here we are. But one day it was about 120 degrees warmer than it is. It was 110 degrees at least warmer than it is right now. And, man, my air conditioner quit in my house. My air conditioner quit. I didn't know what was going on. Man, I went out there and I looked it all over. And I mean, I know a few things about air conditioning. This was years ago, but I couldn't get it to work. No matter what I did, I couldn't get it to work. And I'm like, well, I'm a person of faith. I'm going to lay my hands on this air conditioner. I'm going to get Sharon in agreement with me. We're people of faith. We're going to command this air conditioner. It's going to come on, and it's going to work. We're going to take authority over whatever caused you. You're like, you really think like that? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I used to think more like that than I do now. I used to think that because I'm a person of faith and because I've had some faith victories in this area and that area, so what makes you think you could possibly pray over something mechanical like that and then it would work? Because I did it in the past and it worked. Like driving down the road in my car and my car quits and I'm in the middle of nowhere and I cry out to God and lay my hands on the dash and say, I command this car to start and run in the name of Jesus. And you know what it did? It started and ran. Our garbage disposal quit working one day. Sharon's like, I'm not living without a garbage disposal. She got on her knees and put her hands on that garbage disposal and commanded it to work. And you know what it did? It started working. So you said, well, golly, come to my house and repair some stuff. Oh, it don't work like that. I told you about two times when it worked just exactly like I wanted it to work. And if I could remember them, I'd block them out. But if I could remember them, I could tell you a whole lot of other times where, oh, it didn't work like I wanted it to work at all. This air conditioner thing is one of them I committed to memory when it didn't work my way. I'm on my knees. I'm outside on that condenser unit. I'm praying over that thing. I'm commanding it. You're going to work. I don't have the money to pay a repairman, whatever. You're going to work in the name of Jesus. Boy, I'm rebuking this thing. I'm praying with every fiber of my being. I know, God, it's not your will for us to not have air conditioning. I'm trusting in you, God. And I hear this little still small voice. It says, do you trust me? I'm like, I rebuke this thing in the name of Jesus. And it goes, do you trust me? I'm like, oh, do you trust me? And I was like, I stopped. I got quiet. I said, yes, Lord, I trust you. And he goes, then let it go. I'm like, what? What are we going to do for air conditioning? Trust me. Okay. What are we going to do? And I mean, it's suffering, stinking, miserable, hot. Well, there were some people in the church who had a big house. And they had begged us, literally begged us. y'all come over and visit sometime, whatever, anything we can do for you, da 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 da. I was like, and I felt prompted of the Lord, call them and just tell them you'd like to come over and, you know, take them up on their offer for a little bit. I'm like, I don't want to do that. You know? And I hear that voice again of the Holy Spirit say, just trust me. Okay. So I call them up. Oh, my gosh, they were so excited that we were going to come and spend some time with them, whatever, and they could be a blessing to us. And so we went over there, and, man, they spoilt us rotten and fed us good food and hung out. We hung out in the air conditioning. And it was one. And, of course, while we're there, they're getting some personal ministry time, and they really needed it. There was stuff going on in their lives that I didn't know anything about until then, and was able to minister to them. They were able to minister to us, and we ministered to them. It's all good. That house that we lived in at that time, I did not own. I called my landlord up, and long and short of it, he got the air conditioner going, and it all worked out good. It took a couple of days. And it took me humbling myself and being willing to go and stay with someone a little bit or just suffer in the heat, one or the other. I chose to go stay with someone. But see, God was working a plan that I couldn't conceive and didn't really want to go through with, but it worked out for my good. I wound up being a blessing by going to these people. They met our physical needs, and we helped meet their spiritual needs, and it was a blessing all the way around. And that takes me to where I want you to open your Bible to this morning, in Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Let me give you another translation of that. God's smarter than you. God wants to do better things for you than you can even imagine for yourself. He has a master plan in place. Christmas is a time of miracles. The reason we celebrate Christmas is we're literally celebrating what we call, what we look at and say, it's just miraculous. Everything about the Christmas narrative, I would call it a story, but a lot of people in our time today, if you call it a story, they think it's make-believe. It's not a make-believe story. It is the account of a factual event that happened exactly as God said it would happen, every tiny detail, every I dotted, every T crossed, and exclamation point at the end of it. Nothing was unfulfilled. Nothing was not told ahead of time, from the point of where Jesus would be born, so many details about his birth, but it's miraculous. It's all miraculous. And when we think about a miracle, you know what a miracle is? A miracle is God using his supernatural power in someone's natural circumstances in a way, in all honesty, that they really couldn't even think or imagine. I think about in John chapter 11 when the friend of Jesus named Lazarus became sick. The Bible says that his sisters sent for Jesus. They said, Lord, come and heal your servant, Lazarus, whom you love. He's sick. Now, Jesus has healed everybody. They had watched Jesus heal all kinds of things. There's no doubt in their mind Jesus can take care of this. And they said, just come and heal him. And Jesus, the Bible says, he stayed put right where he was for 2 days. He didn't move a muscle. It's like as if he just ignored the request. You say, well, why would he do that? Because he's listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. While Jesus is delaying 2 days, Lazarus is lingering and getting worse and worse and worse until the point where Lazarus literally took his seemingly last breath. Jesus then told his disciples, come on, we're going to go and we're gonna wake Lazarus up. They said, oh, awesome, Lord, but if he's asleep, he'll get better. I mean, resting, you know, he'll do better. He said, no, it's not that kind of sleep. And he told them plainly, he's dead. And for your sake, I'm glad, because we're going to go raise him up. They're like, huh? That's exceeding and abundant above all you can think, ask, or imagine. See, they said, Jesus, we need you to come and be our healer today. Jesus said, no, I don't want to come and be your healer. He said, what do you mean? Jesus didn't want to heal him? He had something a little better in mind. Maybe you've been somewhere, or maybe it was a memorial service, or maybe you just read it one day, and you read these famous words from John chapter 11. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever lives and believes in me, I tell you, they will never die. You ever heard those words? The context of those words is Jesus saying that to Lazarus' sister that day. When Jesus showed up, the first one, Martha went out to meet him, run out and meet him. Lord, if you had been here, what's that mean? That means, here, I'll translate it. Your timing ain't like my timing. I had a plan in place here. You're supposed to have been here 2 days ago. Speak the word, lay your hands on him, spit in his eye, whatever you want to do, but he's going to be better. That's how it's going to work, Jesus. You're going to come over here. You're going to do your thing. He's going to be better. Where were you? You didn't do it the way I had it all planned. Come on. This is not part of the plan. Are you sure? Do you know the whole plan? I don't know the plan. That's one thing I have. I'm going to be straight up honest with you. After over 30 years of walking intimately with the Lord, the one thing I know for sure is that I don't know nearly as much as I used to think I know. But that's okay, because I know who does know. See, the thing that comes with, it could be maturity, but maturity in the spirit realm is not a matter of time. It's a matter of commitment. You could be saved a week and be more mature than somebody that's been saved 10 years. If they're saved 10 years and they'll only let God get into just a little shallow surface of their life, they're going to stay that way from now on until they change. But if you open yourself up completely and totally to God, you're going to grow and mature so quickly. But it does take time. But you're going to grow and mature so quickly. And one of the things that we got to come to realize is that God always has a master plan. He always, always is doing things that will work for your good. He loves you. There's nothing you did that made him decide, think I'm going to put them through the mill. He doesn't think that way about you. Does that mean that I can't make some decisions that'll cause me some issues? Yes, I can certainly make some decisions that'll cause me some issues. But it's not God doing it to me. I'm not being rejected. He promised in his word, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you, I will not reject you. And people that are sensitive to God, they're not going to reject you either. They don't mean they're going to agree with everything you say and do, because love doesn't do that. If I see you headed for a million-foot cliff and I love you, I'm going to tell you, hey, you're headed for a million-foot cliff. And I don't want you to go off of it, but if you do, I'm still going to love you. I'm going to be right there. Amen. But I had to learn over and over again to just let go and let God, because he does have a master plan and he is working together for our good. We just need to trust him. When we come back from our prayer break here in just a little bit, we're going to look at some of the narratives of the Christmas account, and I'm going to show you God unfolding things that just literally don't make sense. It's like Lazarus I was talking about. He's a dear friend. He's sick. He's at the point of dying, and Jesus just apparently doesn't do anything. But what Jesus is doing, he's setting him up to have what I like to call a killer testimony. You say, why you call it a killer testimony? Because his testimony was so powerful. Lazarus' testimony was so powerful after he was raised from the dead. How many know you got to get dead before you can be raised from the dead? You got to go through some sort of a test in order to have a testimony. The testimony is not about the trouble. The testimony is about how the trouble couldn't stop you because of God. He who troubles the troubled waters and makes them be still. That's a testimony. Lazarus was dead. He was decomposing. His sister's like, if you'd been here, he would not have died. How do you know that, Martha? You know what Mary said when she came out? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you anything you ask. I'm like, well, she's on the right track. Jesus says, where's he laid at? Take me to the tomb. And they're like, they took him over there. And then Jesus says, roll back the stone. We sing that song, don't we, Monica? Just like Lazarus. Roll back that stone. That's an expression of expectation. I mean, Jesus could have commanded the stone to roll itself back. Could he not? An earthquake could have conveniently came at that point when the stone rolled away. But Jesus told those people, roll back that stone. In other words, your cooperation with God's will can release the miracle power of God. You can chew on that one a minute. You see, but God is God. He'll do whatever he wants. God is God, and he will attempt to get his will done in your life, but you're going to want your cooperation. So they rolled back the stone, and Martha said, well, by now he's decomposing. Jesus says, let's roll back the stone. I'm the resurrection, and I'm the life. And then he commanded Lazarus to come out. Lazarus came out. Take them grave clothes off. Let go of the past. Let go of the things that were killing you and move forward. Let go. Get rid of them grave clothes. Now, Lazarus is doing great. He's so got such a testimony because of God's master plan. He's got such a testimony that the religious, jealous Jews that were always opposing Jesus, they not only decided, we've got to kill Jesus. That's the point at which you say, well, when did they decide they needed to kill Jesus? That day. You can read about it in John's Gospel in the 11th chapter. It says, from that point forward, they plotted how they might kill Jesus or do away with Jesus. And then in chapter 12 of John's Gospel, it says, in Lazarus, because of his testimony, they want to kill him too. That's why I call it killer testimony. You got testimony, Monica, you got testimony. Tina, you got testimony. Dwight, you got testimony that is so powerfully glorifies God, the devil don't like it. It's a killer testimony. We all got killer testimonies. Jesus said the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. If he could, he would do that to you, but he can't because we don't let him. We don't let him because we stay close to the Lord and we trust in his master plan. When I don't feel like trusting, I just back up and make myself feel like trusting. Somebody say, ask a pastor, it was actually Kenneth Hagin, to ask him, are you always willing to obey God? He goes, I'm always willing to be made willing. That's all God needs from you. Are you willing to be made willing? Are you willing to lay down what you think has to happen so that God can do what needs to happen? Because do you trust him? Does he love you? He proved it. On the cross, he proved it. Amen. So get your prayer request to us if you want us to pray with you, because when we pray, we're not going to just be taking up time. We're going to release our faith and believe God to touch your life in Jesus' name.